Hey everybody, it's Brad Gilmore. Before we start the show today, I just have to stop and thank you. Yes, that's right. Thank you, the listeners, for telling somebody about this show, for telling a friend, a loved one, a coworker, family member, cousin, significant, I don't care. Well, thank you, all right, for lending us your ears each and every single week. It's people like you. Yes, people like you listening right now on your iPod, on iTunes, podcast, app, in your car, in school, at work when you should be doing things. It's people like you that keep this show going and have kept this show going for almost 3 years now. So I wanted to take this time to personally thank you. Because you telling somebody brings more people aware of this product. You going on bradgilmore.podbean.com and donating to our PayPal keeps this show going. So you can have this audio entertainment every Monday for free. I just wanted to take the time on behalf of the Brad Gilmore Show on demand. We thank you for listening. Continue to tell people about it. Continue to talk about it on social media. And use that hashtag BG Show because it is how we keep this thing going for you, for the world, for me, for us. We're in this together. For us, and most importantly, for free. So with that being said, I want y'all now to enjoy the show.
Brad Gilmore Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cal the Don, man.
What's good, Space City, the great city? It's your boy Roose Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah. We're back here, DJ Motai. You're back here. And finally, in 2014, you've gotten an interview with the Brad Gilmore Show. You were here for the full interview.
Oh, yes. I was here for this one.
You were here. You decided to show up.
I decided to show up on time, before time.
Didn't sleep.
I ate.
You had a strawberry shake.
Yep. You know, I think I'm gonna have one of those every time
I
come to an interview.
You get turned up off the strawberry shakes.
Hey man, they're good.
They're good shakes. Whataburger, huh?
I just went to Whataburger. Maybe I'll try another place next time.
Switch it up, indeed. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We have a great show for you today. We have back the most requested guest in Brad Gilmore Show history, and also what many people consider the best interview we've ever done, the legendary
DJ DMD.
DJ DMD of 25 Bibles. Lighters and Bibles.
Bibles.
And all the 25 something. 25-8. He's Mr. 25-8. Yep. He's got a lot of 25s in his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that meant, but he's got a lot of 25s in his life. He's back. Where he's now the preacher of the positivity is the nickname that I've now given him on this show. And we do. We talk a lot about positivity and all the stuff that he's been doing since the last time he was on the show, man. And he's been doing a lot.
Positive things. Positive vibes.
Positive vibes only. Positive entertainment. He is just a positive guy. He's a positive guy.
He's a preacher of the positive.
You know, a couple things we want to, you know, go over before we get into our interview with DJ DMD. Actually, before DJ Motai's Monday morning music mix, I want to tell you, Motai, you mentioned last week on the show that you were back in the gym. You were working out, right?
Yeah.
And you know what I said? I said, I got a massage.
You got a massage.
That was my workout.
Come on, man.
But last night, I had a conversation with my friend and mentor, Booker T., and five-time WCW champion, you know, WWE Hall of Famer, blah 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 blah. And he was like, "Hey, kid, when we gonna get in the gym, kid?" You know, and I was like,
"He was pretty much asking you when you're gonna start working out.
When am I gonna start working out?" And I said, "Book, as soon as you decide to train me, I will work out with you." So Book said, "I think this weekend." This weekend we're getting in the gym. I got to go get some workout clothes and some tennis shoes. But me and Booker T are gonna start a little workout program here. I'm gonna try to get a little, you know, little Muay Thai toned.
Little swollenness going on.
Slight swole.
Slight
work. Slight. I don't want too much swole going on. You know what I mean? I'm gonna leave that for Booker. But you know, I'm gonna tone up a little bit.
Get
some cuts. Get some more definition to my shoulders.
But don't skip leg day.
What? Oh, it's gotta all be proportion, right?
Yes.
Did you skip leg day?
When I was younger, I did. So now I'm starting to work on leg day. I'm doing more leg days now. You know,
I understand. I get you. I understand.
But surprisingly, I can squat and leg press more than I thought I could.
Well, what are you leg pressing?
Leg press. Those are actually easier. I can do. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Man, I gotta do some math here. It might take me a minute.
No, it's all right. No, F all that. I don't even want to know that bad. But we're gonna both be, you know, working out. People know I've changed my diet like a long time ago. No fast food. I'm trying to get all that stuff out. You know,
yeah.
I want to live a long time. I'm not going to lie to you. You know, and I pray to God. That was me knocking on wood. Mm-hmm. That I do live a long time and follow, you know, work out. You got to work out, Motai. You got to get in shape, Motai.
Get in shape.
You got to eat right, Motai.
You know, it actually keeps, you know, a person.
Women interested?
No. Yes, but I mean, it puts someone in a mindset to where they're determined to do something, and they what is that other D word? Not that D word, bro. Discipline.
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 That's what I was gonna say.
Okay. Sure.
Discipline.
The disciplines you know, not only just going to the gym every day or every other day, setting a schedule, but it, you know, with everything else in your life.
Yeah,
because you got to go to the gym certain time of the day, and then after that, you know,
you got other stuff you got to do. Yeah, you got to figure it out. Yeah. Right. Now we're talking about new workouts. We're talking about new rules. You mm-hmm. know, new year, facts only.
Yeah,
my thing is, it's new year's new rule, no limits, right?
No limits.
No, but what I want to say is, DJ, our own DJ Motai, you know, 2011, we've been in a band together for I don't know how long. And you've been DJing and you've been building your own name up. You know what I mean? And I've been building, you know, Brad Gilmore's name up, and we've been growing together on this show.
Yep.
And now, you know, people who listen to the show all the time know I always preach the Debonair Lounge. Hosted every Monday night by hosted by Tay Mitch, emceed by Brad Gilmore. You know, that's what we're going with now. And the entertainment world champion. But I want to now announce that our new regular DJ at the Debonair Lounge.
The Debonair Lounge.
Is
DJ Motai.
DJ Motai.
Bah, 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 bah.
Bah, 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 bah.
And then there's a gong.
And Motai. You know, you mo gue gue vaidi's out.
What? Where'd that come from?
Jackie Chan Adventures.
Ah, yes.
The animated cartoon.
It kind of clicked in my head.
Clicked in your head. You mo gue gue vaidi's out. Talismans. Remember the talismans?
I don't know what that means. Don't ask me how that
is. I don't know what talisman. I don't know. You don't know what you mo gue gue vaidi's out means?
Yeah, no, I don't know what that means.
Was Jackie Chan, what is he? He's Chinese, Japanese? What is he?
Chinese, but I think it's like Mandarin and Cantonese or something like that.
There's two different dialects of whatever. Well, you're neither.
I'm neither.
And you know neither. So we don't have to worry about it. But yeah, you're going to be more regularly at the Debonair Lounge at least two Mondays out of the month.
At least two Mondays out of the month.
We're also going to have DJ OG Chase B, who is mm-hmm. Travis Scott's official DJ. Travis Scott, good music, a Grand Hustle artist.
Yes, yes.
And he's also the Ill Roots official DJ. So, you know, Motai, you know, I'm going to put a little round of applause right here. You know, no, you don't have to do it. I'm going to put it in the sound effects.
I was just doing it myself.
Oh, okay. I see you. But, you know, congratulations, man. You deserve
it.
You definitely deserve it. And more stuff coming around from DJ Motai.
So, you know what that means? Come out to the Debonair Lounge. Every Monday.
Every Monday night, Cafe 4212.
Yes.
Debonair Lounge. And I also want to say this. I want to say that.
That.
February the 1st.
Saturday.
Two in the morning. Will be the debut edition.
Of
Booker T. Reality of Wrestling.
The
Row is now on your television screen, And we're going to be bringing you our debut edition of the show, Steel Cage Match Main Event.
Oh, man.
It is Gustavo Mendoza versus The Pride for the Reality of Wrestling World Heavyweight Championship inside of a steel cage. Loser leaves the row forever.
Oh, man.
Big
hey,
main
but
event.
It's a steel cage match.
Yes. Channel 57, The Cube. Y'all make sure y'all go check that out. Now, DJ Motai, before we throw it off to Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix, I do want to make an announcement, and it's not an announcement I'm happy to make.
I don't think it's an announcement anyone would be happy
to make. It's not going to be an announcement y'all are going to be happy to hear. Y'all have probably noticed for the last 10 weeks or so, you've sporadically heard the third person in our trio, Peaches. Peaches. Tatala Peaches with a Z.
Peaches! Peaches!
And she did tell y'all on the show that she moved to Dallas, getting everything straight with her life, and it's so great to see her starting to she's got a new job, she's got a car, she's working, she got a truck, she's
very
got a
good
truck.
Thing. She got a truck.
She got a truck like we got
oh,
trucks.
Nice. We all got I mean? Trucks now.
We all got trucks. And she I talked to her yesterday, and we're just not in a similar space right now. She's not going to be able to continue with the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. So it's very unfortunate. For the last year, she's given us a lot of classic moments, including some you weren't even there for, when she fell out of the chair at Local Live trying to get a hand Jordan Pinella lollipop.
I was right down the hallway, man.
Oh, that was so funny. Oh, but she was okay. Don't think I'm laughing at her falling, because that's what
we're all laughing together.
We're not laughing at her. We're laughing with her.
Yes, with her.
But Peaches knows that was funny. Peaches knows. But you know, I hate that she's not gonna be. But she's always welcome back to the show.
Always welcome.
Anytime she's in town, she's definitely gonna be guest hosting this show. But as it stands right now, DJ Motai and Brad Gilmore are gonna be rocking the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
Yes.
For the foreseen future here.
Because we got this.
Because we got this, Motai. We're going to miss Peaches, though. Definitely Peaches. You know, me and Motai both love you to death.
Yes.
And hope to see you soon, girl. Alright?
Peaches!
Peaches! Now, that being said, before we go into DJ Motai's Monday Morning Music Mix, we got a couple of dates to plug. January 31st, you can see DJ Motai at Stars Sports Bar and Grill.
Stars Sports Bar and Grill.
That's in Katy?
That's in Katy, Texas.
Off of where? Where is that?
Off of I-10 and the Grand Parkway.
Off of I-10 and Grand Parkway. Then the very next day, February 1st, like I said, Channel 57.
2 a.m. in the morning.
2 a.m. The Cube. The Cube. You will see Reality of Wrestling. You can see my beautiful face on there. Making all the big name announcements. You know what I mean? I think, you know, just stay tuned and you're going to see what happens February 1st. All right. And February 15th, if you like what you see on the 1st and every Saturday thereafter, February 15th, you need to come out, check out Reality of Wrestling live television tapings. I will be there. Booker T will be there. Big Sexy Kevin Nash will be there. And a lot of other stuff, you know, a lot of other people. And I think DJ Motai, 2011's own Corbin Dallas, might be there to sing the national anthem.
He might be there. He might be there.
I say might because card in wrestling is always subject to change. But he's scheduled to be there. And so that's February the 15th. You can actually also see me February 21st at Reaching Your Dreams Presents Don't Wake Me Up 2, Bridging the Gap at the Chemistry Bar. I will be hosting that. And that is at the Chemistry Bar at 1002 Alameda Genoa Road. You can see me there. That's February 21st. And then? March the 2nd, man.
Oh, March 2nd.
Is the Scope Show.
All right.
And you will see me, the entertainment, the dress shoe wearing Ric Flair and Good Hair having entertainment world champion. I'll be rocking the Scope Show.
Nice.
March the 2nd at Stereo Live. That's over on Richmond Avenue. I don't have the exact address.
It's over Richmond and Hillcroft.
Richmond and Hillcroft. Thank you, DJ Motai. It is right there, Richmond and Hillcroft.
Yep.
Stereo Live, see me March the 2nd at the Scope Show. Big shout out to Teresa and Susie on that one. And with that being said, DJ Motai.
Yes.
It is now time.
It is now time.
For the
Monday
Morning
Music
Mix by DJ
Motown. On the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
We'll be right back with our interview with DJ DMD. Peace.
Tell me that you're missing now and then. Ayo. Did you brag only to a friend? Give you this update. Ayo. Private jet land out in Paris. Ayo. Told you from the jump it was lavish. Ayo. Never ever once thought of marriage.
I wonder what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it, what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it. I just can't wait. She know that she love the way I do it. And she know that I can be right. If it's still tight. Yeah. I just might explode when I. Yeah. She knows she can get it when she want it. I still own it.
Yeah, I'm a throw ass nigga. All about control ass nigga. Know what it was gonna be when I got there. How you gonna hold this nigga? You know I don't fold my nigga. I'm the only one that do you like that. You know I'm a play ass nigga. Cause I ain't never told my niggas.
And I know you love it.
You know I'm back in time. You could've messed around and now.
I need a update. Tell me how you feeling, where you been. Tell me that you missing now and then. Did you brag on it to a friend? Give you this update. Private jet land out of Paris. Told you from the jump it was lavish. Never ever once thought about it.
I wonder what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it, what it feel like. What it feel like. What it feel like. What it, what it. And she got my favorite fucking suit on. In that thong. My plans tonight is not to be alone. So like Marvin Gaye. Then I got a message that said foreplay. Hit it in the worst way. I had fresh about the shower to that Benzo. I was doing about 100 on that feeder road. Girl, I'm speeding, but fuck the police. I gotta get to ya. Put that ass to sleep. Hey, told me you kept it tight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to see if it's right. Houston, we might have a problem. If it don't feel like
it. Yeah, I'm a throat ass nigga. All about control ass nigga. You knew what it was gonna be when I got back. How you gonna hold this nigga? You know I don't fold my nigga. I'm the only one that do you like that. You know I'm a play ass nigga. Cause I ain't never told my niggas. And I know you love it. I know I'm back in time. You could've messed around with that.
I need a update.
Tell me how you feeling, where you been.
Tell me that you miss it now and then.
Hey,
did you bring on it to a friend?
Hey,
give you this love. Told you from the jump who's lavish. Never ever once thought about it.
I wonder what it feel like.
What it feel like.
What it feel like.
What it, what it, what it feel like.
What it feel like.
What it feel like.
What it, what it.
Never understood why people let this happen. Some hate on success is a natural reaction. That'll make you lose focus. It's just a distraction. Don't give them the attention or the satisfaction. Feeling like I'm at my best on top of the game. Always on the practice field perfecting my aim. Giving you the signal to let you know I'm switching lanes. Never catch me being still like a freeze frame. So I propose a toast to the laughter. To all the critics thinking I was no longer a factor. Similar to a professional gambler. Know the odds before you play your hand, for example. Live and let the way I please, carefree. That's not a gimmick, that's just me being me. What they allowed y'all to see was only a glimpse. Change gears on the game and I ain't looked back since.
I
frame from a camera by now for y'all to picture me. At least that's what I thought, but what I hear is contradictory. I walk this fine line, it's balance, homie, symmetry. How niggas feel failure from my success, that's a mystery. Shit, oh well, you buy what they sell. You don't need me, you can do better by your damn self. Word to the wise, if you hate and keep your distance. That love-hate thing, but just pick one and be consistent. Go ahead, keep taking these ways for granted. So you'll understand, these bars harder than granted. Underdog against the odds, yep, that's just how I planned it. When I get it, I ain't giving it back. Just being candid to the rappers, taking pot shots in the dark. To Norvell, didn't even warrant a spark. Already, you can take this for what it's worth. The pennies for your thoughts won't get you reimbursed. Swayze, baby. European car with a European chick. Euro made watch, make it European sick. Japanese denim, old soccer made fashion. Late night London, West End club crashing. Joint Samuel Morales set the stallion free to run. Ferrari down the Autobahn, bucket list fun. Jump in the jet, tour through the Eurozone. Net jets car makes it easier to roam. Pit stop in Amsterdam, fogging up the cabin. High club burst, begging for the shagging. Champions League, you wait for cup, I'm excited. Theater of dreams, mid-pitch, Man United. Zach all waiting list, sold out venues. Eating up life, what's next on the menu? Scheme with my team, now we're living a dream. Roll tight like a burrito, no sour, just cream. My waist, summer day, small waist and pretty face, body like you did ballet. Wondering, pondering, stumbling over words. Always been one of all, but baby, you had them curves, so you threw me off a little bit. But I got back in the game cause I had to hit. Knowing if I could get your attention just for a little bit, maybe you could be the girl I could go home with. But you weren't feeling that. Had a dude vision clouded, kinda like cataract. Situation escalated, kinda like a Cadillac. Told me there was more than you than that big hump up on your back. But damn, that ass was nice, girl. Had me wondering what it took to be that Mr. Right, girl. Said you were the dinner before you turned off lights, girl. Walks on the beach, you know, the flying kites, girl. So I took you on a date. And the night I got it, damn, it was worth the wait. Made them kind of sounds movies couldn't even fake. Body made the moves that Harlem couldn't even shake. Damn, girl, for heaven's sake, I was in the presence of greatness. Kissing pictures like your single friends, don't hate this. Took more than a couple rhymes to make this. What we got is real, girl, you can't fake this. My sun and my moon, girl, my jump over broom, girl. And when I get home, I want you up in my room, girl.
like the Comico. I'ma let that body be like I'm Cameo. And trust, boy, ain't no common fella. Handle business like I'm J.D. Rockefeller. My bad, I started to talk about me. I wanna talk about you, know all the things you believe. I wanna talk about the fam, I wanna talk about the fun. If things get too serious, are you the reverend and run questions? Do you love the summer season? Are you close to memes? Do you like butter pecan? Is your mother Puerto Rican? I'm thinking that she is, girl. That explains why that thing's so thick, girl. Every time you leave, no one playing straight miss ya. Need to take some vines and some Instagram pictures. You see me in that Benz lately. Swear this dating game crazy like a Slim Shady. Because these women wanna date me. Then that's a couple dates. See, these women want a baby. That ain't what I play about. Screaming pimpin' ain't dead on a player drought. Wait, baby, just stop it. You just rock it. You so polished, I can't doubt it. You just got it, ah.
You got it. Loving you ain't hard. Been it from the start. You know who you are.
You got it.
We can take it slow. Let me take you home. Cause pleasing you is easy.
What's up, everybody? This is your man Brad Gilmore, aka Lord Trillmore, and I'm with my guy, the Duke of Debonair, Tay Mitch.
We want to invite you beautiful people out to the Debonair Lounge this Monday.
You'll be surrounded by positive vibes and hear the best live music in the city of Houston.
Just ask my man Kirko.
What it do, man? It's Kirko Vines. Every Monday, I need the whole city to come out. My partner Tay Mitch and my partner Brad Trillmore is going down to the Debonair Lounge, man. Y'all know what it do.
Debonair Lounge, 4212 Alameda Road, doors at 9 p.m.
Hey everybody, this is Brad Gilmore.
And this is Kyle Hubbard.
And we want y'all to come check out our new podcast, The Announce Table.
We'll be going over all the significant events in professional wrestling history that changed the game forever.
That's right, Kyle. So y'all can go to iTunes right now and subscribe to The Announce Table with Brad Gilmore and Kyle Hubbard.
Hello everybody. Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand. DJ Motai, are you doing good today?
I'm doing great.
It's a great day.
This morning.
It's a great day, you know. I woke up late this morning. Not late, around 10:30. But when they're hearing this, it's 8 in the morning.
Yes.
But I woke up at 10:30, and I felt good. I felt actually, it's actually great who are our guests here today, because I actually felt blessed for another day.
Cool.
And I felt real good. There now, our guest today, Motai, is not only a legend in his own right, but he is a legend on the Brad Gilmore Show, because
wow,
he is our most requested guest. And to this day, most people still consider our interview with him on the second episode of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, the best interview we've ever done.
Wow. And y'all have had some folks, man.
We've had some good names.
That's an honor. Praise God. Thank you, bro. Wow.
If you recognize that voice,
you.
And you clicked on that download button on iTunes, you are hearing DJ DMD. What? Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, fellas, for having me. Thank you, everybody listening to the BG Show, man. Praise God. Thank y'all.
Hey, so it's been what? June was June or July? When were you here?
I think it was June.
June. Mm-hmm. You were here in June. Mm-hmm. So it's been a good 7 months-ish.
Right.
And a lot has happened. One, for the Brad Gilmore Show.
Yep.
But two, indeed. Now, when you were here, we were talking 25 Bibles.
Right.
And I mean, it was a little bit after that record came out, but we were just catching up on it, catching up on your thoughts on everything. Mm-hmm. Actually catching up on it. We were talking about Yeezus, Kanye All West that. Yeezus. I remember that very vividly.
Crazy conversation. Crazy.
And that was before the album came out, right?
Right.
What did you listen to the album?
No, I didn't, man. I didn't. I never listened anymore. Those two songs were the only ones I needed to hear, man.
Yeah.
But I heard a lot about it. I heard good things and bad things. So I mean,
mixed reviews. It got mixed reviews.
Yeah.
I do want to say, let's just go into this right now.
Okay.
Let's bring it up just because we're on the subject. What do you think about Kanye's kind of craziness going on lately. All his interviews, all his like spaz outs. Like, you ain't got the answers, Sway.
Sway.
I mean, wow.
It ain't Polo. Or it ain't Ralph, though.
It ain't Ralph, though. It ain't this sweater, though, is.
Did y'all see Ralph. Him? He was on his mother. I guess his mother-in-law has a show.
Yes.
And he professed his faith in Christianity. And that, and then the following events that have happened since he dropped the record. I mean, yeah. It's all mind-boggling to anybody.
Yeah.
But for those of us who believe, I mean, it's, you know, just we hold him up in prayer. And hopefully he... It's just like the perfect example of somebody like struggling on the fence. You know, that's the result of not being persuaded one way or the other.
Definitely.
And unfortunately, he's sounding the way he's sounding, but that's Kanye.
Do you think there's something wrong with Mr. Kanye West, or do you think he's just right now in like a flux of frustration?
I mean, not wrong in a like physiological, scientific, biological, nothing like that.
Yeah.
Mentally, when we playing, I'm just be honest with you, when we're playing with spiritual things, spirituality,
yeah,
and we playing with that, a lot of crazy things can come from our mind states as a result of that. So I just think he's struggling with that. Hopefully in the near future, he kind of takes a step back, does some self-reflection and realizes some of the stuff that you say is hypocritical, how you act is hypocritical, and that's not good for our souls individually.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But off Kanye West,
okay.
I just wanted to get your quick opinion on it because it just happened to come up. Happy New Year, first off, to you.
Likewise.
Happy New Year.
Feel good about 2014?
I really do.
You do?
I really do. I think especially for the city of Houston, I really think something special is happening in this city. And,
explain what are you talking about? What's so special, DMD?
I sense
aside from this podcast, that
hey
we're
man,
right now.
This podcast is about to blow up, be number one in the city of Houston and abroad. I just feel like a sense of positive energy is about to wave over this city to where people are going to want to be involved in positive things and promoting positive energy and really seeing how detrimental darkness is.
Yeah.
I really do sense that. I really do sense something special is happening in Houston.
You know what's weird is you know, I've been saying 2014 has had this like, you know, this effect on me to where it's like everything's been really good, really positive, and I've been going off of energy and vibes like you're saying. Like I've been really looking for positive people, positive vibes. Anybody who has negativity, I actually kind of stray away from them. You know, I almost feel bad if someone like, you know, focuses on their negative energy sometimes because you got to, you know, you're a glass half full guy.
Mm-hmm.
You a glass half full guy,
yes,
Motai?
Indeed I am.
Are you a shake half full guy?
I'm a shake half full guy.
And, you know, I really like what you're talking about. You know, we need to preach more positivity.
That's it.
You know, it's not off religion and stuff. Right. I'm saying just be positive. Right. Wake up, put a smile on your face.
That's it.
And just, you know.
Now, this could be because of my age. I'm a little older than a lot of people. And I remember when I was 15, 20 years old and felt invincible, could do whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Is at this stage in my life, I'm really understanding how precious moments are.
Yeah.
And I could either choose to fill those moments with negative energy or choose to use positive energy for those moments because they ain't never going to come back. So I've learned that. So now I'm all about positive vibes. Like you say, I kind of shy away from negative people, too.
Yeah.
And I watch good things happen in my life as a result of that. So if a multitude of people in Houston get that vibe, can you imagine the good things that could happen in the city of Houston when everybody just chasing good vibes?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's where we need to get to.
Amen.
You know what I mean? We just need to figure it out. I can't figure out why people like to focus on negative things. I guess it's just not in my care.
Maybe they haven't been exposed to the positive, you know, vibes.
Maybe.
It's all around us. Negativity is kind of like an innate character. We kind of are bent to go toward the wrong and the negative. That's just how humans we made.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So to long and desire positive, that's something that you have to do intentionally. And you're right. Somebody has to impart that kind of encourage you in that in order for you to see it and then begin to walk and activate that in your life. So all your stuff like you're doing right now, we need to do more of. Just tell people, encourage them to be positive, man.
Well, that's why DMD had to come back to the show.
Amen.
So we could have a conversation about positivity. And now you are almost, you know, the preacher of the positive. I mean, we were just talking.
I'll take that.
We were just talking about you have a positive entertainment club you're a part of.
Yes, sir.
Called Club Koinonia.
That's it.
Look at that. I got it.
He got it.
I got it.
How is it spelled? How is it spelled, DMD?
Koinonia.
Okay, yeah. No, definitely not how I spell it.
One word. Okay. Koinonia.
Koinonia. And what does that word mean?
It's Greek for fellowship.
Greek for fellowship.
Good fellowship. Positive fellowship.
Yeah.
And in the spiritual and the Christian background, it's fellowshipping around the things of God. So we wanted to, this came about literally like within the last 8 weeks, and some men, a guy named Kevin Martin and a guy named Andre Johnson. Crazy names, huh? Kevin Martin and Andre Johnson got
they
hold of me.
They sound familiar.
Yes, sir, they sound familiar. And they own a club in, it's actually a secular joint called Club Manhattan right now on the southeast side. But the guy wants to transition to do more positive stuff. He just didn't know how. And he got hold of my name. We got together and we started jotting down some ideas. And what we want to do is create a club. He's going to let his liquor license lapse. That's how serious he is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, but it, the dude's a millionaire, so he ain't really hurting for cash. So,
okay. Yeah.
While we building this up,
yeah, he's cool, a millionaire. Yeah. He's the best wide receiver in the history.
Now, it's not that Andre Johnson or Kevin Martin, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But just interesting choices of names.
Crazy, man. Well, and I'm going to be a part of bringing Christian hip-hop positive rap events there, but they're also going to be like contemporary and traditional gospel events there, and they're also going to be stuff for spoken word, poets, and all that stuff. We're going to really try to have a night every of the week for every other genre in the spectrum of entertainment.
We're talking 7 days a week?
Seven?
At least five. That's five. At least five.
Monday through Friday.
That's our goal, is to do that and provide a positive alternative venue for people to go to. And it's an amazing spot on the southeast side of Houston. And we look forward to building it up.
What part of the southeast? That's where I'm. That's my neck of the woods.
The address is 13334 Almeda Road.
Almeda Road, okay. Not too far from me.
Beltway,
not too far.
Beltway in Almeda is right there.
Not too far. Oh, yeah. It's over by, you're also people, right?
Yeah, my also people.
So it's currently Club Manhattan, but on Sunday nights, it's the only night we're doing it. Look now. It's called Club Koinonia. So until we build it up, stay tuned to my social media and everybody get information on.
Yeah, and when it's up and running, make sure you shoot us.
Absolutely.
Make sure you shoot us a text, and we'll blast it out here on the show. But you've been going on with that. Like I said, look. He's the preacher of the positive. I think I've made a new nickname for you. I think I've made a new nickname.
I like that, though. I might make a song out of that.
You might have to preach
of the positive.
I just want my album shout out.
Credit?
I just want my album shout out. I don't even need credit. I just want a shout out.
I'm going to do you like that. You know how we was talking about the ZZ Top before? I always handle business correctly. You give me an idea, I'm going to make sure you get paid.
Well, I appreciate that.
There
See,
you
you're a good guy. You're a good guy, DMD. Now, the ZZ Top thing, for people who go listen to our last podcast with DMD, ZZ Top covered 25 Lives, and they call that a guy's to get paid.
Yeah.
You know, though, 2013 was a big year for a lot of things, but a big year for hip-hop because, to me, a lot of big names in hip-hop, pretty much every big name in hip-hop, released an album that year.
Yep.
You know, you had Eminem, Jay-Z, Kanye West, J. Cole, Wale, Lil Wayne, Pusha T, you know, everybody. Drake.
Yep.
Drake had an album. He had a song on there, too, DMD.
It's not my sample.
It's not your... Did you That's check in my, on that?
Absolutely.
Because I did hear it. The song was called Swangin'.
It's actually Trey's sample.
It's Trey's song.
It's Trey's. He sampled or got acapella whatever from Trey. So
I'm sure you checked into that one, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You have to.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Did you make like an overture over to Drake's camp?
To be honest with you, when I got a tweet that I needed to check that song out because, you know, I don't really listen to Drake.
Yeah, it's not your main
course.
It's
not my
course thing
no more.
Yeah.
So I finally found it and I checked it out. And initially, I thought that was my record he sampled.
It sounds very similar.
So I actually sent out a pretty nasty, ugly tweet to Drake.
Uh-oh.
Everybody retweeted it. It was huge, da-da-da, making them. And I eventually snatched it down. And then I had some attorney people do some research and found out that was a Trey BN record that he sampled. So hopefully he took care of business with Trey. But
yeah, but he didn't have to take care of business with DMD.
Not actually that Trey, the song Trey did, we took business for his a usage of that in his song.
Okay,
so
how does that work out then?
It depends on what you do. If you just do like ZZ Top did and just took words, actual words from my sound recording that I own, then they have to deal with me because those are my words. I own the publishing, all of those words. But the actual sampling of a sound recording is different. The actual recording itself is called a sound recording. So whoever sound recording, who owns the sound recording that was sampled, they also get a cut. All right. So, because in honesty, I could have still went after some money because I own the rights to the words that they used.
Did they? Yeah.
You right. know, but, you know, that would have meant I would have had to bring Trey into some stuff and all of that stuff.
You don't feel like going through all that?
Nah, I just hope he took care of business because they did sample Trey's sound recording.
Right? Okay.
So.
But it's almost like they sampled Trey. Trey sampled you.
Awesome.
So they pretty much sampled you, crazy. Right? Well, in a way.
In a way, I guess.
In a way. When you look at it like that, that's how I would look at it.
What a record 25 Lighters was, man.
Still.
Man. So.
Do you think it's ever going to like die down like in the popularity?
Well, I mean, just yesterday I heard, flipping through secular radio, I heard somebody, it's a new song or an older recent song where there's an Eric B. and Rakim for president. Remember that beat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote or got a song using that break beat, and I'm just like, that's the kind of stuff that us hip hoppers fall in love with, to know that a beat 20 years, 25 years down the line is still being sampled and looped. And then maybe 25 Lighters may be one of those records. So.
I think, you know, it has definitely the last ability. And like I said, we talk about it in full on the other show. So y'all can go check that out if y'all want to hear more about 25 Lighters. I do, you know, you talk about Eric B., Rakim. Yeah. I mean, was that the hip hop you grew up on?
That's the era, man.
That was the era. Who are your top guys?
I mean, Rakim, Cool J, of course, everybody wanted to be Cool J for a moment.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when gangster rap hit the scene, I fell in love with N.W.A. and the whole Dr. Dre and all of that stuff.
Ice Cube, to me, is still a guy who I don't think gets his credit
as
one of the best MCs of all time. Because not only was he writing Eazy-E's raps, you know what I mean, and Eazy-E was killer with the words, you know, but they were Ice Cube. And, like, to me, you know, I think I discovered N.W.A., I don't know, a few years ago, obviously, like, you know, 2006 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I heard the Straight Outta Compton record. My best friend's dad played it on vinyl in his home, right?
Whoa.
Wow. And the first thing that came up, shout out to Mr. Davis, Paul Davis. The first thing that came up was, Straight Outta Compton, the song.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whoa, what? And then the next record he played after that, he played F the Police. And then he took that vinyl out and he put down a Ghetto Boys album. And, you know, so then that was my first hearing of like two legendary groups, N.W.A. and Ghetto Boys. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Paul Davis
Shout out.
Exposed me to that. But I when I heard, you know, Ice Cube, he kind of demanded your attention.
His flow, everything about his vocals, everything. He was one of the biggest personas as far as an MC is concerned. He kind of changed the game for that. He was an MC. He wrote Dr. Dre's raps.
He wrote he wrote Dre stuff. So, there was Dre, MC Ren, Ice Cube, Eazy-E,
Yella,
and DJ Yella. DJ Yella,
yes sir.
I what is DJ Yella doing now?
Man, I don't know.
I haven't heard.
I don't know what he did in the group.
Yeah, I've always wondered that too. I didn't know if he was just like the DJ.
Yeah, I guess for shows and stuff, and just for the whole light skinned dude look, he added the light skin.
You needed a little light skin flavor sometimes.
He was the light skinned brother of the crew.
DJ Yella.
Yeah, DJ Yella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they're actually making an N.W.A. movie now. I just heard Ice Cube talking about they're in pre-production of doing the movie.
That would be interesting.
I would like to see that because they had a lot of beef with one another. Like, you know, toward the end, like Ice Cube, he didn't take any shots on America's Most Wanted, but they had, what was it, 100 Miles and Running?
100 Miles and Running, set it off, and then he came back with No Vaseline.
Oh, man.
I mean, classic diss records,
No Vaseline was tough, though.
Classic, man. Classic, man.
Ice Cube, actually, you didn't really want to mess with Ice Cube when it came to diss records because he had that really good diss record to Be Real.
Nah.
And he and Common had a little tiff.
Right.
Over I used to love her
because his flow was so simple, everybody could grab it, you know. And so when he put a diss out there, you understood the diss from the first time you heard the record. You didn't have to go back and listen to it two or three times to try to figure it out.
Well, in your opinion, What's the best diss record of all time? Now, wow. I know we're preaching positivity.
Amen. Amen.
But
it's a hip-hop discussion.
It's a right hip-hop discussion. We got
to
talk
and
about
it. And I'm a hip-hopper. To me, hit him up, man.
Hit him up.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to be hit him up by Pac.
I mean, Pac and him ate them boys up, man. So to me, that's like the all-time diss records. I mean, I don't even know. Are they doing diss records nowadays?
I think they're doing really. Twitter shots.
I'm not promoting. Yeah. I wish they wouldn't.
Twitter and Instagram shots.
Yeah, taking shots on Twitter.
Oh, okay. No more diss records. No more. West.
Not good ones. The last diss record I really remember was Common and Drake had a beef with one another.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Common went and dissed Drake because he Drake wouldn't say his name right on a song, right? He was like. Referencing Common and talking about like Serena Williams, which is Common's like, you know, girlfriend or wife or
Drake?
Whatever. Yeah.
Common is a vet.
Yeah, Common's a vet. So Common came back on the same record, right?
Okay.
Jack the Beat.
Okay.
Old school jacking for beats. And he came back and he kind of went in on Drake. He said his closing line, I'll say this, was, "I'm through messing with this amateur guy. You ain't wetting nobody. You're Canada Dry."
Wow.
Yeah.
Now they don't make diss records like they used to.
No.
But on a cool, while we're talking about positivity, I mean, because Hit 'Em Up was so hard, you know, we can roundabout say indirectly it had something to do with his demise in the end, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, because those beef records, they were really beef records. Them dudes had real beef.
It spilled over.
So from a hip-hop perspective, I hated to see that go like that, you know. It's supposed to be just held on wax or whatever, but because of the negative nature and just the immaturity of the artist, we can take things a whole lot farther than they should go.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think that era of hip-hop, do you think that it negatively influences the generation of today? In the sense of now everyone looks back at 90s music, right, 90s hip-hop, and it's like, oh, my God, this is the greatest stuff of all time. But a lot of the stuff back then, like you said, was the gangster rap, the diss records, the thug life. That was like the late 90s was all about
all
the
gangster.
Like straight, like that was all it was.
Sir.
I mean, that was on everything. And now you have guys like Justin Bieber. Have you heard that
I saw the picture this morning.
He got arrested. What was it, Motai?
Street racing and DUI.
He got DUI.
Didn't he get into some trouble a couple of weeks ago? He got let off.
Drugs or something?
Yeah, his partner took a case. Yeah. He's taking a case.
Oh yeah, no. He got his house got raided.
Right.
And they found cocaine.
And somebody else got arrested and not him.
Yeah, they took the fall for him.
I mean, he's good. We see the spiral.
I also heard he egged someone's house.
That's what they raided his house for.
Oh, okay.
He went and egged.
Ain't that dude like a billionaire, so man?
Yeah.
What are you egging somebody's house for?
I don't know, because he's 19 and doesn't know what to do.
And you know where he was street racing?
Huh?
In a residential area.
No. I mean, that's beyond foolish, man.
Yeah. Like, I mean, not only like, okay, if you're gonna street race, let's find an abandoned something.
You're a billionaire,
or another.
Out, man. You could rent NASCAR track if
right?
you wanted
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
But I mean,
you could hurt people in a residential area.
All of music in that era was the stage. I mean, and I think I said this on the last time. Things
yeah.
are only going to get worse. They don't get better until there's an absolute change, man. And you're right. Our era, the 90s and the early 2000s, started all of this. And it set in motion a negative mind state that when it trickles down, only gets worse and worse. So now we got Justin Bieber's trying to be almost foolish, dangerously. I mean, and not to say anything about the creativity, the lack thereof of creativity in music anymore. All of
yeah.
that stuff trickles down. And we have to take some of the blame and some of the OGs. We didn't step up to the plate and grow up fast enough to kind of switch it. So now the game is where it is. And That's partly our fault.
But you know, I look up to as you said, the old, like I look up to you and Bun, and even outside of the hip hop realm, my mentor and good friend Booker T.
Cool.
You know, who he has a good book. I'm gonna send you his book.
I need
it. It's called From Prison to Promise. You know, and you know, he went to prison, you know, early on, and then got out, changed his entire life, and now
became Booker T.
And he's got the key to the city. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he's another guy who, you know, preaches positivity and looks out for the young guys, which you do too. But like for me, like Justin Bieber, it's just like listen to the OGs, man. Everyone's saying,
I wonder
like,
if he has anybody around him.
I don't think he does.
To like as a mentor?
Yeah, or somebody.
Yeah,
somebody
I don't think
should
he has
step
a mentor.
To the plate. The dude is what, y'all said, 19, 20 years old?
19 or 20.
Young dude, somebody should step up to the plate. I see him running around with Money Mayweather and
Yeah,
and I'm like, somebody gotta step up and just impart some wisdom into that cat. Otherwise,
I mean, because like you, like you said, you're one of the, if not the most famous person in the world in music right now.
Yeah.
And you're going out there and you're getting yourself DUI. That means he was under the influence of drugs, mm-hmm. right? It's not alcohol. So DUI, I mean, that's like a serious, that's an even more serious charge, I think, maybe than even driving. There's both, you don't want either one of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Especially at 19, because.
Especially, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely going to screw you on that one. But, I just don't know. Like to me, that kind of, because, you know, me and I'm 21. So Bieber and I aren't too far away in age. You know what I mean? And I look at him as a little kid for making these foolish decisions. Because it's just like, I don't understand. Motai, I know you're a Tokyo drifter.
What does that mean?
It means you're Asian. And you can
it means
drive
I'm
well.
Asian, okay.
And you can drive well. Like you would never, like, do you ever do street racing? Have you ever done that?
I don't make bad decisions, but if I do, I'd be smart about those bad decisions.
Okay.
It won't be that bad.
It won't be that bad. That's a nice way of tiptoeing around the question.
You kind of hit me with that, like,
on the spot. And it's weird, though, to see. And is it weird for you to see how much hip-hop now has also crossed over into like, the white people? Like, I mean, you see Miley Cyrus...
it's not surprising.
No,
I mean, we kind of saw that, you know, the success of people like Run DMC and stuff, like taking it, and then of course, gangsta rap took over. Even in the 90s, it became widely known that the majority of the purchasers of rap music was other ethnicities.
I read somewhere,
suburbians,
like it was like 72% of all hip hop purchase was suburban white teenagers.
I mean, straight up,
male.
It's been that way for the longest, so it was only a matter of time before people in that particular, I guess, demographic or area, whatever, would want to start making music like that and be influenced by it. So,
but is it hard for you to see people like we're talking about Bieber and we talk about Miley Cyrus, you know, twerking?
Are you talking about what that stuff is doing to hip hop? Or are we talking? Because I don't hate on them as far as being artists and doing whatever it is musically.
Yeah.
They're talented in their own right. It doesn't bother me. I mean, it. What bothers me most is the example that they're setting for the people of that generation.
To me, what I think it is sometimes is I think they're trying to represent hip-hop culture, but they're misrepresenting hip-hop culture.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's how I feel about it. Yeah.
I mean, how can somebody in suburbia really identify in with somebody in the projects, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's too completely. But see, then you have people like that, you know, like Miley Cyrus, who's never been broke a day in her life. And I don't want to take shots at Miley or Justin Bieber. I'm not. I just want to say, like, off their actions. I don't know them as people. You know, I only know them by name, not by spirit, right?
Yeah, right.
But I just think that, you know, they're taking the surface layer of hip-hop, like what people think it is, you know what I mean? And they're taking that and they're promoting that to the umpth degree with twerking. And with, you know, drug paraphernalia and driving in Lamborghini, street racing in Lamborghinis. And they think, I think that's all hip-hop influence.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I don't think there's rock and roll influence or country. I think that's hip-hop influence. But they're taking the things that the culture has always been bashed about and promoting them to the mainstream America. Because, honestly, the word twerk and twerking has been around since... To me,
time.
The early 2000s. I remember Ying Yang Twins, Beyonce all saying it early on. And then now it's like this new nationwide phenomena, the twerking. And it's the curator is Miley Cyrus. And it's just like
she created it.
Exactly, and then people call her.
But that's how things. That's how things happen in entertainment and in culture as a whole. Sometimes, I mean, stuff like that happens, and I place some of the blame on why it's happened, why it's not being talked about, to the true hip hoppers, the people who say they love hip hop and hip hop culture. They should be one of the ones talking about righting the wrongs. I ran across some discussions by people. What's the Brand Nubian guy?
Yeah,
Sadat X.
Sadat X.
I've heard him kind of get a whole bunch of flack for saying a lot of stuff that, in a certain kind of way, I mean, really is some truth to it. I mean, but hip hoppers, current hip hoppers, especially the ones that OG got OG status, they need to say something and kind of, you know, encourage the current generation of hip hoppers to pay homage to the art form by respecting it. A lot of the stuff you're talking about is blatant disrespect for the art form.
It is.
They're just prostituting it and borrowing it, flipping it out, whatever, making money off of it.
Turning tricks off of it.
Now, you know, those people that we're naming, and like I said, we're not trying to throw them under the bus, but they got the money machine behind them.
Yeah.
And when you have a money machine behind you, and that's kind of what happened to rap in early days. Once the money starts throwing in, then the control really does leave from the people who are creating it, and it goes into the hands of the people who are financing it. So yeah. Now it's at another level. So those people got huge money machines behind them. So,
but then you think about that, and then you think about the guys who are huge in hip hop, like, you know, your Jay-Z, mm-hmm. or even Beyonce to that stick. Now they're taking control, of one, the culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Jay-Z back in the day saying, you know, we're not going to do throwback jerseys anymore. All right, guys, mm-hmm. we're going to dress up in suits and ties, mm-hmm. you know. But nowadays, like, they're taking more control of the music, too. Mm-hmm. I believe it was after you came on the show is when Jay-Z came out and was mm-hmm. saying, you know, hey, I'm dropping this album. I sold 1 million copies before it dropped.
Changing the game.
I made this. This is the music I want you to hear. Mm-hmm. I made it in true hip hop form with mm-hmm. the best producers in the world sitting in a room with me, and we just worked. And what I loved about hearing that is that Jay-Z, Justin Timberlake, Beyonce were all working on their albums in the same studio Amazing. Building at the same time.
Amazing.
So that's why they're all over all each other's mm-hmm. records and mm-hmm. writing everyone else's records and stuff like that. And to me, that's what hip hop's about.
Used to be like that. People used to make records like that.
And now I feel it's so like cookie cutter. Like, okay, I'm gonna do this R&B record. I need Miguel on the hook, right. And then I need the record for the club. So let me get Juicy J. I'm gonna have a record about ass. So let me get Juicy J and Nicki Minaj on it, and you know, and Big Sean will do the remix.
Man,
and it's so like, you know, boom boom boom. This is how you make a hit album.
How do we change that?
But like Jay-Z. Like, I mean, look, Jay-Z, boom, puts out this album, you know, sells, you know, 1 million copies before it drops, mm-hmm. puts out the music he wants to, different sounds. There's some real minimalist New York, mm-hmm. like 90s sounds on there.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake was like, I'm not going to give you one album, I'm going to give you two albums of what I want this year. And then Beyonce topped them all.
Yeah.
And you know what happened with that is she decided on a Thursday night, I'm going to drop an album, I'm going to announce it via Instagram video, only on iTunes with a video. For every single song.
And more.
And more, plus extras. I'm going to put it on iTunes, and I'm going to sell 850,000 copies in 3 days.
Unbelievable.
And shut iTunes down temporarily.
Unbelievable.
That's how I like the fact,
and from a business perspective, I love the fact that they try new things. I mean, because of the internet, we can create so many different ways to kind of bring attention to what we're doing. So yeah. Jay-Z and that whole clique and everything you just said kind of demonstrated that. Hopefully that level of creativity trickles down to the little cat that's trying to do it in the hood. And instead of him trying to do what everybody else is doing, he's thinking out of the box. That's how I'm looking at it.
Let me ask you this. Do you think with the internet nowadays, do you think that record labels are even necessary anymore? Because you see guys like Macklemore. See what Beyonce did.
The big record labels are going to fizzle out.
Because you know those companies are going to find some way to monetize everything.
I hear they're already trying some ways. I hear now the latest contracts contain a lot more their hand in merchandising.
Mm-hmm. We have the 360 and deals. And, yeah,
I mean, all
they get
kinds
a piece of everything.
I mean, that's the only way they can really kind of make profit if they touch those aspects of an artist's career. But like Jay-Z and so many other independent, Macklemore included, especially people over here and what I'm doing now, all independent.
Yeah.
We find it, I mean, independent, if you work it right, it can really sustain you. And you don't need a major label anymore. You just need a good team that don't cost a lot of money to know how to play the internet game, promotion. Mm-hmm. I love the way the game is right now. It's wide open for the little man if he is willing to work, think, and think out of the box.
Yeah, it's completely like now, like, it's all up to you. Like, I mean, even I think to even get a deal now, it's like, you know, back in the days, like, people would talk, and then you place a bug in someone's ear, like, okay, hey, go, get, you know, you should sign this guy. And it seemed like in the late 80s, and I don't know, I wasn't there, but it seems like in the late 80s, early 90s, they were just handing record deals out.
For a minute, you're right.
For like everyone was, yeah. I just listened to a podcast with MC Search, and from Third Base, and
they gave me a record deal. Wow, who thunk it? But anyway, go ahead.
But no, he was saying that he was just at a MC competition. He was just battling, and he won the battle. And when he got off stage, Russell Simmons said, "Hey, tell everyone you're signed to Def Jam."
Mm.
Like that, it is, they don't hand deals out like that. Like,
nah,
that,
they don't do it. Nah, it's not like
they don't do that anymore.
Nah, those were the days, but it was big money back then. You know, $10 a pop for a disc or a tape, an album. Record labels could make a ton of change. You know?
How much did an artist see off of a $10 disc?
Depending on what you signed, the standard deal was you walk away with maybe less than a dime per record.
Less than a dime per record.
I mean, yeah. I mean, once you sign the deal, but it, depending on the artist, they would put buttloads of money behind them. So that dime could turn into a lot of dimes, you know?
Yeah.
And then certain artists got more than that, of course, as their career, whatever. So a lot of times back then, us artists, we would fight for the upfront advance money.
That's how you really got paid?
That's how you really got paid and, of course, your shows, because they didn't have any hand in our show money back then.
Because it was kind of two different. It was like you had the record deal. That was a recording contract. And then you had like a booking agent.
Merchandising and booking. You're right. Those two separate entities. And right now, record companies hurting so much, they are measuring them. Mm-hmm. I mean, blending them all. So
yeah.
For the artists that signed the major deals right now, man, I feel kind of sorry for them. You know, because they know, but no telling what's going on in their career. But we seeing in the industry that you don't need a major label to make a lot of noise. You don't.
You just need Twitter.
You need
good music.
Yeah, good music and a good team, and you can get a good team.
Do you think that, like, no matter what, cream will always rise to the top?
I'm a firm believer in that, brother.
So you think we're going through a cycle of real secular, real cookie cutter stuff, and then we're gonna finally.
Yeah,
get the,
but you know, it's conversations like this that continue to spark the mindset of the consumers that's out there. You know, once they get, we keep talking about we need more, we need something new, we want to support something new. They'll start hearing it and they'll start thinking about, man, why did I buy that such and such? Why did I do that? Then, you know, that's why platforms like I'm trying to create are going to be important, not just in my realm, but in all other realms. We need to create platforms for the guys that are creating new music. That because it's so different, they can't get exposure.
Yeah.
There's tons of talent here, even here in Houston. I'm talking from the secular side that I've heard that just got amazing potential. But because they don't have a big budget behind them and they don't have a platform for that particular type of stuff, they don't get any real love. They steady grinding. I mean, it's people like, I don't know if y'all heard of Soul Fruit.
No.
Okay, Soul Fruit. Y'all need to go look up Soul Fruit on the net. Soul Fruit is a wonderful group out here. Talented trio, live musicianship, beautiful harmonies. I mean, they remind you kind of old school with a new school sound. But they can't get no love. No real love.
No real love.
And when I tell you these people are super creative, super talented, I mean, I've never seen people, a trio with a girl in it, sing as good as those people sing. But they don't have a platform.
Yeah.
So we just keep talking it up, man. Things going to change. Everything
like we said,
is cyclical.
The preacher of the positivity.
Amen.
Is here. And you know, it's funny. We're sitting here, Brown Sugar Studios. I have my.
What's the name of this place?
That's what I call it.
I like that, man.
That's what we call it, rather.
I like that.
Yeah, Brown Sugar Studios. I have my Beats by Dre studio headphones on. And I have to mention this. The only reason I mention that is to mention this. Your voice.
sounds so good in these headphones.
Oh, wow.
It sounds very like Motai. Here, check this out. Listen to him talk. He sounds really good.
Dr. Dre is like my mentor. Me and
doesn't he sound great?
Whoa.
Me and Pimp C used to sit around and study Dr. Dre's records for hours and hours and hours. So to see his career, and now he's got now headphones.
Yep. He's killing the game with headphones.
I mean, he run it. I mean,
he runs it. Yeah.
That's man, I cut for Dr. Dre, man.
He so shows
my,
you the
my
power
voice
of
to be sounding good in some Dre headphones. Oh hey. Man, you just hey. Made my day, bro.
But I say that, and it's funny because between the podcast, the first show right. we did, and this one, you now have a radio program.
Yes, sir.
That you conduct on 90.1, right?
Right now it's 90.1 FM, KPFT, every Wednesday night from 11 p.m. to 12 p.m., 12 a.m. Now, it's not an official show on the website. It's not okay. an official KPFT show.
Okay.
Shouts out to my man DJ Chill and Damage Control. Y'all know about Damage Control.
I know Control. Damage Control. I know Chill very well. Yeah, shout out to Chill.
Legendary crew. And
been around for years.
They from 11, their show is from 11 to 2.
Yeah.
So, but from 11 to 12, they can't play. You know, cuss words, you know,
yeah.
Damage Control is underground.
Yeah.
Where, from 11 to 12, they used to have a ministry called Goat Radio come in and provide the clean music. And they did that for 5 or 6 years. Well, in August, right after I, in August, they gave it up.
Yeah.
The owners of the runners of the ministry just said, you know, they were getting ready to do something else. So me and DJ Overflow used to go over there all the time to help them. And we saw that would be a void. If they left, we don't know what Chill would have done with that hour.
Yeah.
And I wanted to continue to find a way to keep shining light, play the music we were playing on the radio. So me and Overflow prayed on it, and we eventually said, well, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. So we made the commitment to do the show from 11 to 12. We called it Life Radio Show, which stands for Living in Faith Every Day. And man. And
who came up with that?
My wife, actually.
Your wife is an amazing person.
And so we use it, and we coin the music that we play contemporary urban gospel music. So it's not that's not even a format, but you know that's how we speak things into existence, and we see what's up. And
put it in the universe.
Amen.
You preach positivity,
and it manifests.
And it manifests itself.
That's
so how you liking. You liking being on air?
I mean, it was nervous. I'd never done a radio show before. I've been a DJ pretty much all my life.
Yeah.
But putting a radio show together, because what I wanted to do, I wanted to do it like a radio show. You know, Damage Control, you know, it's kind of free fall. They just be kicking it in the studio, playing music whenever. Yeah. And that was the case with Goat Radio. But what I saw was that if we did it in excellence as like a real radio hour, like a real radio show, that maybe we could get better responses, better make a bigger impact. Because at the end of the day, what we do all over is actually ministry. That's how I look at everything that I do. It's like ministry. So I wanted to make sure the show that I put together ministered to people in some kind of way. So we bought voice tags and spent time with the Pro 2 session at DJ Overflow spot. And we figured out how we could put maybe like 10, 11 records in an hour and still talk and make it flow like a real radio show. So we've been doing this since August. And since then, it's been amazing, man. Prisoners, inmates get a chance to listen to the show in various units throughout the state. You know, some of those units, I guess, allow the inmates to do so. So a large bit of the listenership are inmates. So we get tons of letters, feedback from positive feedback on how much the show has impacted those guys is while they're in on lock, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then we've also got feedback from the Christian and the Christian hip-hop community who have been very appreciative of us finding ways to play their records on FM radio when we don't have that platform. I also get a chance to spotlight local Christian hip-hop and positive entertainers that wouldn't get play on any of the other stations. So as they submit music to me, it meets the criteria. We find a way to put it on the air and kind of make it look good. Just last night, we had the awesome underground, formerly underground rapper, used to be down with Trey B.N., Pyrex.
Yeah, Pyrex.
Well, Pyrex is let's say he's been a believer since he was 11, but he kind of walked his walk. He's recently recommitted his life to Christ, maybe like within the last year. And since then, he's put out some amazing music. Got an album working on, shooting a video this weekend I'm being. And we spotlighted him last night. And Pyrex is awesome, man. He's going to be an awesome soldier to make a positive impact here in Houston. So it's stuff like that.
We need to hear these shows more. Do y'all record them?
We're actually now just uploading them to a Mixcloud. We're getting ready to put them on a site to where people can download the shows for free. We're also in the process of building. The show has gotten so popular. I just literally worked out deals with three other stations across the country to broadcast the show. Wow. So now I got to figure out how to stream stuff. Now I got to figure that out.
Hey, talk to me. I got you.
We're going to talk, as a matter of fact. I got to get this pod thing down.
I'll hook it up with you. I got you.
So, it looks like this may be a spot for me as far as what I'm supposed to be doing in life as well, is to help build platforms for positive entertainment. So that was one of the things we talked about. Club Cornelia. I've been pretty busy, and I'm still.
What about? Tell me about Feed the Faith TV.
Feed the Faith TV came about a couple of months ago. The Dillard sisters, who own what they call the Rejoice Network, it's a gospel 24-hour streaming channel that plays pretty much right now, kind of traditional gospel programming, videos, preaching, whatever, and it's pretty much marketed to traditional church.
Yeah.
Feed the Faith TV is going to be their sister network, where it's going to be geared toward more of an urban demographic, younger demographic, kind of like an urban MTV, if you will.
Oh, that sounds kind of cool.
You know, let's just say an urban, it's going to be positive entertainment only. Neo inspiration is what we're calling it. And it's going to feature programming, spoken word, YouTube messages, YouTube stuff like Jefferson. What's his name? Jefferson Beth. You ever heard of it? Beth Key? Okay.
No, I think you missed us on that one. us on that one, DMD.
This guy here does these amazing vlogs on YouTube. So we're partnering with a whole bunch of people that are allowing us to use their content, quality looking, high HD quality. And we're going to program it, and it's going to stream on Feed the Faith TV. I think it's feedthefaithtv.com. It launches February 15th. And me, DJ Overflow, and a couple of other Houston positive entertainers are going to be kind of like the faces of the network. So you'll start to see ads pop up on television maybe, and you'll definitely see more promotion about it in the city of Houston, in the greater Houston area, in the streets. We're going to be hitting up events and stuff like that. So I think it's going to be a cool platform for the positive entertainment community. We don't have that, especially here in Houston.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you really want, you got good quality material, go to therejoicenetwork@hotmail.com. Send the Dillard sisters an email. Let them know that you're interested in contributing your content. We'll get it into programming, and we'll start doing corresponding with you and trying to give people, as many people as we can, a platform to be
positive
seen.
Entertainment, positive entertainers. I like that. I like that.
I didn't know if anybody was going to dig those phrases.
I like the
but
phrase.
I'm going to say them anyway.
I like them.
Because I don't want to. What one of the things that I don't want to do, Brad, I don't want to know, because I've been a quote unquote negative entertainer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've been there. So I understand kind of like the motive and the drive behind it. Yeah, success, fame, da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, we're promoting foolishness. And that ain't, to me, that's not good for humanity
as
a whole.
What exactly, we'll end on this, but what to you is foolishness?
As I stand right now, foolishness is anything that contradicts the will of God for humans in the earth. And because I've learned to allow his word to positively impact my life, and I see the results in my life, I just would love for so many people to understand that his word can be trusted. It's a good thing. It ain't no religious stuff. It's all about God wants us to have the very best we can in life. And if you just allow his word to meditate, to meditate in your mind and learn how to obey it, it could change your life. So anything that contradicts what's in the Bible, it's kind of negative, and I guess I'll end it on that until the next time I'm here.
And you will be back. Don't think you won't be back. But this has been the preacher of the positivity, DJ DMD.
I'll take that.
I like it. That's his new title, Motai. We got to do that. I appreciate you coming back on the show. Can you believe we already talked an hour? We already did an hour of positive.
That's called koinonia.
Well, look at that.
Amen.
It came full circle too.
So if y'all want to get in touch with me and find out more koinonia type vibe,
yeah,
hit me up on Twitter at DJDMD. Go to my website, e5entertainment.com. Email me, DJDMD11@gmail.com. Or hit me up on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDJDMD. I'm ready to holler. Put me to work. I love all y'all. Amen.
And on that note, DJ Motai, DJDMD returns to the show. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Y'all tune in. Not you. I'm not thanking you, Motai.
No, I was see you were thanking him, and I was thanking him, too.
It did sound like that. But anyway, DMD, we appreciate you coming back. Y'all tune in next week. Peace.